Well, hello everyone. My name is Stacey Murphy and I am the head vixen of the Vixen Academy, and I want to welcome all of you here to the Vixen Mastermind with my guest expert, who is Erwan Devon, and we are going to be talking tonight about the makings of a power couple, how to bridge that masculine and feminine divide so that you can have a juicy and joyful relationship long term, right? And so that is why you're here tonight. This is what we're going to be talking about. So we definitely invite you to take notes, because we're going to have a juicy Q&A at the end of this discussion. And so even before we get started, jumping in of what we're going to be doing tonight, we definitely on, and Erwan, he will share his viewpoint, but the both of us definitely want to thank all of you for being here with us today for this, because we know we are at a time in the world where we're going through some really big challenges, right? The entire, with the COVID-19, we just want to kind of acknowledge that we're not ignoring it. And even now more than ever, you know, making sure that we are feeling comfortable, whole, and healed within ourselves individually is extremely important right now, and especially in our relationships as well. Because you've heard on the news about, there's a lot of concern for mental well-being, right? Because of people being sequestered. And you've also probably heard in the news, relationships are being challenged right now, right? There, you know, there's a joke about in 9 months, there may be a lot of babies, but then also there can be a lot of, you know, divorces or endings of relationship because of the social distancing and things that we have to do. And so we truly acknowledge that. And we want to thank you for being here with us today, because part of bridging this masculine feminine divide plays into what is going on in a bigger level in the world. The world is being forced to reset, right? To literally do like a factory reset. So the world is being forced to reset, to do things differently, because we can't continue on like how things have been. So what this also requires us individually is to look at within ourselves, within our relationship first with ourselves and then our relationship with other people, about what needs to be worked on, what needs to be healed, what needs to be rectified, what needs to end, what needs to begin, right? All of that is being required of us right now, so that when we go into our new normal, because things are not going to go back to the way they were. So when we move into our new normal, we are moving there, like I said, like a phoenix, and we are evolving and we are ready for what the next step is going to be. So this is our opportunity to get in front of the curve versus being left behind, okay? And so this is one of the other reasons why we felt it's really important to still have this this mastermind, and also keeping into consideration what we are all going through right now, right? Erwan's gonna talk about it a little bit more, but he lives in California, here in the United States. And people know, you know, California, he's in San Francisco, they're on total lockdown. I'm in Orlando, Florida, I'm dealing with that there, but I'm fine. What I'm worrying about, my mom and my family, they actually live in New York City. And everybody knows what's going on there. So we're all going through something around this. We're all affected by it. And so we're going to be sharing with you in our world a way in which you can honor yourself, honor your relationships, and continue to move forward in our new world, right? So I just wanted to start that off with everyone and say thank you so much. And here is your opportunity to say yes to yourself, all right? And we're doing that. So with that said, now we'll kind of get into the juiciness of what we came here to learn and discuss today. For those of you who are new to me and my teaching in my world, Yes, like I said, my business is the Vixen Academy, and I'm actually a love and intimacy coach, as well as a femininity expert, right? Teaching women how to be in their divine feminine, where I show professional women how to feel powerful, feminine, and charismatic during the day, as well as seductive at night in the presence of men in both life and love. And so I teach women how to embrace their queen status, so they can be authentic leaders as well as attract and maintain a happy relationship with a high caliber man that will stand the test of time. And so that's a little bit of what I do, who I am. And I want to also then now tell you a little bit more about Erwan. And because Erwan, for over 20 years, Erwan, who was joined by his wife, Alicia, they've been working successfully with singles as well as couples, teaching their signature process, which is the Devon method, to hundreds of students in groups, retreats, as well as individual sessions, and helping them create the relationship of their dreams. And one of the things about, you know, Erwan and Alicia, they have a unique approach to relationship coaching that combines their educational backgrounds in psychology, as well as aspects of Zen Buddhism, right? To provide a holistic method to effectively improve connection with the self, as well as with others, right? And so, hey, Erwan, how are you, my dear? How are you
doing? I'm doing great. It's great to be with you, Stacy.
Oh, and it's great to have you. And like I said, and thank you so much, because like when we first talked, it was like, oh my God, you know, you're on lockdown and everything else and things are going crazy. But you know, when you said you want to be of service, just like me, I felt very honored by that. And I would love for you to share just a little bit more of your own personal story very briefly. And especially when I heard how long you and Alicia had dated before you got married. And I thought that was like hilarious, but you know, I want you definitely to share that with people, because there could be some people listening here that can definitely identify with that. So would love for you to share a little bit more about your personal journey as well.
You know, it started really from a very difficult childhood. We immigrated from France. My parents got divorced. They fought like cats and dogs. I went back and forth from house to house. You know, they had major problems. My father was a street brawler. My mother had her own issues, you know, like this. Then when I was seven, she left and went back to France. And I grew up with my father in New York City, who's still in New York City, by the way. I'm in contact with him every day now because of the COVID situation. And, you know, the predictable future for my relationship life was terrible. You know, the forecast was terrible. And it got to the point where my father had a stroke, became severely disabled. My mother died in France. I hadn't seen her for years. I developed a psychological disorder, an obsessive compulsive disorder. I was taken out of school. It went from the future looking terrible to the future looking like a complete disaster. Mm-hmm. Now, there was a silver lining in all that, which was that it got me into psychoanalysis multiple times per week at 15 years old. Then I went to Unity after that and studied psychology. So the silver lining was that it forced me really to deal with myself, and ultimately to deal with myself in a relationship. So instead of this predictable future, which didn't look good, it started to look brighter and brighter and brighter, because you know, I was kind of putting my hands on the steering wheel instead of living into what was predictable. Then I came out to California, did every possible workshop in the world, taught for the world's largest transformational organization, lived in a Zen Buddhist monastery, was director of a yoga ashram, you know, just threw my whole self in. I just really love people. People are interesting. And then one day, as I was teaching for this organization, I took out a piece of paper and I wrote down, what am I the most interested in? And I just kind of did one of those spontaneous free writes. And the first thing that I wrote down on that sheet of paper was women. And I thought, okay, the feminine, that's what's really, really interesting to me. And I had a great dating life, and I just really realized that I loved women, and that's where it was at. began a very adventurous, romantic, sexual period in my life, which was great. But I had a real problem committing in relationship. To your point about Alicia and I dated for 6 years before we got married. I was very, very good at having fun. We went out. We had a ton of fun. I was so much fun. She stuck with me, all the rest of this kind of stuff. I was teaching, you know, relationship courses, but it was mostly kind of on the dating side and sexy side, that kind of thing. I wasn't teaching anybody about being committed because I couldn't do that at that point. Then there was this time when it was just kind of time to commit, you know, and I could kind of sort of feel that and kind of know that. And Alicia had been hinting at that. And, you know, and I asked my best friend at the time, this woman, Julie, and I said, okay, Julie, you know, what do you think I should do about this? Alicia wants to get in a committed relationship. I said, fine, you know, great, you know, maybe I should do it. I don't know, but I'm not doing it. And she said, Erwan, go for it. What do you have to lose, right? If you don't like it, leave, right? I could not deny the logic of that. Mm-hmm. And then what did I do? Nothing. I did absolutely nothing. Then I was coaching, right? I did nothing, right? I was coaching a student who I actually lived with, a man named Adam. At the time, I ran a couple of big, this is the guy like 20 years ago. I ran a couple of big houses and I was working with him, and he had a big opening, kind of a spiritual, you know, consciousness type opening. He felt more awake, more alive, and, you know, he was lit up. And he went downstairs, grabbed some red paint. Believe it or not, on his wall wrote "Wake up" in red paint. It looked gory. That's you know, amazing. So I, you know, it was a, it looked gory, but the was in it. It was actually, you know, it was actually a big opening for him. And then he turned to me and he said, Erwan, how about for you? What's next for you? And I said, I'm getting into a committed relationship. So he said, okay, well, and when somebody, if you've been in a Zen monastery, you know, the only correct answer when somebody asks you when is now. So I'm a good Zen student. I said, now. And he said, great. I'll drive you. So we, right? That's a good friend, right? So he literally took me by the hand. We went downstairs into his garage. I'm so glad you asked that question, Stacey, because I've told this story for a while. We went into his garage, got into his big black Jeep Cherokee, drove over to where Alicia lived, half a mile away. Never any parking on that street. There's a parking spot right in front of her house. We pull in. Alicia and her housemate Carrie are walking up. Everything is coming together. I am sweating. I am just completely nervous, completely sweating. Adam leans over me, opens the door, pushes me out. I stumble out. I go over to Alicia. Adam gets out, grabs Carrie, takes her someplace. You know, I don't know where they went, but they went place. And I just said, yes, absolutely. Let's get into a committed relationship. And then she, who had been pitching for this, you know what she said? She said, well, I don't know. You know, I got to think about it. She's kind of giving me space to my own medicine, right?
Yeah.
I figured I'd throw in a trip to Thailand. Let's go to Thailand. And the long and short of it is we jumped into a committed relationship. It was the best thing I ever did. It was really, even though I had a lot of relationship skills from all the teaching I had done, it was really so far outside of the parameters of childhood that it took a friend, it took everything to do that. Best did. And Alicia and I are very complementary that way. You know, she's really good at intimacy and depth and love and like that. And I'm really good at having fun and being out there. And you know, so it's just kind of this nice yin-yang kind of balance. And I just thank my lucky star that dove into growth and development, committed. We've been married now for most of 2 decades. We've been teaching together forever. We've worked with thousands of people. It's the only real job I've ever done is working with people most of the time in their relationships, developing loving, thrilling, romantic lives. And it's, you know, it's been really the journey of a lifetime, and the difficulties in the beginning turned out to be a blessing because I addressed them.
Now, what's interesting Because I also hear something a little bit on the background. Someone's background noise for someone.
You might to mute everybody, Stacey. I don't know if you can. I'm not sure.
I have, but I think I found who it was. Okay, I just muted you, Carol. One of the things, though, just from the description of how you said your journey was with Alicia, it's funny, but it's a little bit typical of how men go through certain things with relationships and how women, right, go through certain things in relationships. And this is why we're doing this topic, so that everyone can really see the differences between the two and knowing how you can navigate this and understanding the differences so you can get the commitment that you are looking for, right? And you don't have to browbeat anyone to do it, or how it can be organic. Now, it took you guys 6 years. I've been with my partner for going on 6 years as well. And the first year, very similar like you, like how you and Alicia were. And then after a year, we kind of looked at each other and go, oh, we're dating. We're a couple. We were just having so much fun. It just like organically went into that next direction, which is how relationships can be, especially when you have the skill set and when you know what it is that you need to do. So the first thing I wanted to kind of ground everybody is really share with all of you what I call the man code formula, right? So hopefully you have paper and pen, everyone to write this down. And because the man code formula is a roadmap to a man's commitment, that's what I kind of teach in my world with my Vixen ladies. And just to kind of ground you a little bit with the man code, it is based on the four pillars of love, which I call mental, emotional, physical, and sexual. Okay. And think of those four pillars of love like the four legs of a chair. Okay. So if one of the legs is broken on a chair, if you try to sit on it, you will fall off. It will not support you. This is the same way like the four pillars of love. Now, everyone has sat on a wonky chair or a wonky table. You know, if it's wonky, you can still sit on it. You just have to put something underneath one of the legs to stabilize it. The four pillars of love work very similar, right? And many times, the pillars that, and you can also correct me, you know, in terms of what you see in your world, Erwan, many times the pillar that is broken for men a lot is the emotional one. And the pillar that many times is broken for women is the sexual one. Okay. Now, these are just general. There are always exceptions to the rule. This is not 100%, but this is where we're looking at from the majority. So if you were to look at the four pillars of love and how they work in the man code formula, this is how they would show up for men in order to arrive to that commitment. So the first one would be mind power, right? And this allows you to be a man's confidant, okay? And there are certain key elements to that mind power. But the biggest one with the mind power is, if you are confident within yourself, the one of the things that you will not be doing is having sabotaging behavior, okay? Which takes you out of the game. With mind power, it's also about understanding men as well as yourself. Because when you understand men, then they go, wow, she gets me. She can relate to me. And they'll open up to you that much quicker, right? So that's key element number one. The second part of this formula is, ladies, your sex appeal, right? Your feminine charm. And part of this is also built on nature, a man's nature, which we're going to get into a little bit more deeply there. But it goes with a man's primary sense, right? Which a lot of men, their primary sense is sight. Right. And that's all driven by their testosterone and their hormones. Right. And so this is why your feminine charm and your sex appeal, when you combine these two things together, right, mind power and your feminine charm, it makes a man feel good about himself in your presence. That is chemistry. Okay. Chemistry. And when a man feels good when he's in your presence, he'll just want more and more and more of your juicy love, which then leads to the last two things in the formula, physical intimacy, which is his kingdom. Now, physical intimacy, sex can be included in that, but that's not the primary thing when it comes to physical intimacy. He is letting you into his kingdom, which is his home, his friends, his work environment, all of those things that really kind of that makes his world go along. He will introduce you and make you part of that. And then the last key or the fourth door is the emotional connection. That is his heart. Vulnerability, ooh, the V word, right? Vulnerability, he will be vulnerable with you. This is when he starts really opening up a lot of the family dynamics, right? Those deeper things that he usually holds very close to his vest. That from most men, many men, that is the final door to open, is that emotional gateway, not because they don't want to, right? But men just have a different road that they have to take in order to get there, right? And things, because it's just as important to them, but it's in a different way in which women view it and women see it, right? Because what makes women so comfortable with their emotions, for most of it, is our estrogen. And what makes us women is the domain of the emotions. And ladies, we have 90% more estrogen than men do, just as men have over 90% more testosterone than women do. So this is the lens that it's coming from in terms of that nature aspect. So I want to share with you that formula because it's going to be a helpful way to set up the rest of the stuff that we're going to be talking about here today. So, Erwan, I don't know if there's anything you want to add to that on your end, in which I just shared with that formula.
Yeah, you know, I think it really highlights something that's very important, which is that there's difference. The masculine and the feminine are different. Thank God. Difference is great. Diversity is great. Life likes diversity. It thrives diversity. And I love that you outlined the differences because when, you know, nowadays, a lot of people are kind of opting for being the same in terms of equality. Equality is different than sameness. And the number one complaint that Alicia and I get when singles or couples work with us is that the chemistry is gone. Well, the chemistry is gone because the difference is gone, the diversity is gone. And the feminine has skills and abilities and charms and all kinds of things that the masculine doesn't have. And the masculine has all kinds of abilities and ways of seeing things and ways of being that the feminine have. So, to our topic of a successful, thrilling, loving relationship, a power couple, a relationship that reaches higher and higher levels of intimacy and turn on, it's really crucial for the man to acknowledge and celebrate her and who she is, how she is, and how she's different, and for her to celebrate the man and how he's different. I thank my lucky stars because in Alicia's eyes, I practically can't do anything wrong. She's so approving, but it's with the ability to steer. She's not shy about what she wants. So she's really, really approving. One of the things that the scientists have told us, and we probably all know, is that punishment does not work. You know, and nowadays, a lot of folks are kind of opting for punishment as a way of controlling their relationship partners or situations or whatever. It just doesn't work. Approval works, but it has to go along with honesty. So she's really got, and feminine approval, it's like living in a state of grace. And on my part, I love paying attention to her. She's willing to be approving, and I'm willing to pay attention she wants. And it's a really nice that where we're empowering each other and the difference instead of competing for the same space.
And there's something that you said in the very beginning that I definitely want people to lock onto. And I also share with my ladies, so all of you in my community, you've heard me say this before, but one of the things is especially appreciation. People cannot underestimate the power of appreciation, because for a lot of, especially men, appreciation is akin to love, right? And when a woman can appreciate what her man does for her, or even just appreciate men in general, when you see kind gestures that are being done, when you see like these things and being able to appreciate that, it really warms a person's heart, especially a man's heart. And they will want to do more and more and more because you are showing authentic appreciation. I want to put that word authentic in front of the word appreciation, right? Because we know there are a lot of people that will like, oh, that was so great. And they were as plastic and as pretentious as possible, right? And that's not the kind of appreciation we're talking about. I'm talking about genuine, authentic appreciation that a person can feel, right? That they can honestly feel. And what happens is when you have that going on and being in that place of gratitude, that is how you get that spoiling treatment, right? And I talk about that a lot, about being spoiled, but you're being spoiled with time. You're being spoiled with attention. You're being spoiled with love, amazing sex, positive emotions, as well as pampering, right? And so even having that conversation, elevating what, oh, I want my man to spoil me, there's so many different ways. It's not just material. It's on many different levels. And so it's about embracing that. And so I'm so glad that you share that, Irwan, because that whole aspect and element, I feel that people don't hear enough of that. We hear enough about what's going wrong, what this person did or didn't do. But when we hear, especially a man, just really showing and sharing that level of appreciativeness and what they will do for their partner, that is definitely what we need to have and share more of in our society, especially at this time. And so ladies, you know, for the ladies that are listening to this, and we have some men that are on the call as well, because it's not just women who are on this call, right? And so we really also acknowledge our gods and goddesses that are on the call. In terms of being in alignment with that man code and what that can be, right? And so this is what I want to share with you ladies, because ladies, this is how you can get in alignment with that. Because high quality men, high caliber men, they are looking for a high value woman, because you're resonating on that same energy frequency. Think of it as a radio frequency, right? Those of us that still may listen to radio, What is the one thing when you are listening to the radio in your car, and if you drive out of that signal, all of a sudden that signal will be like static, right? You're not able to hear the station that you are tuned into. So when you want to attract a high caliber man, but if you're resonating on low value woman frequency, that's exactly what it is. A high caliber man could be standing right in front of you, but he will not even hear your signal because you're on a totally different frequency. So this is how you can get alignment with that man code. And so you'll see, it seems a little bit similar, but slightly tweaked. And then also, you know, for our gods that are on this call, this is also about how you can learn a little bit as well as into the ladies. So for you ladies, it's also about having that vixen mindset, right? And this is where you demonstrate your confidence. So just like Erwan said, Alicia, she shares with him what her likes and dislikes are. That takes confidence, right? So that way he's not going through the guessing game, trying to figure out all these little knobs. Now, here's the difference though. There still needs to be a level of mystery, so there's something to explore. But that's a conversation that we'll get into in a little bit. But the first thing is about having the right mindset, demonstrating your confidence, right? Then what happens is, ladies, when you combine that with your feminine charm, which is coming from your self-love, okay, this then leads to you feeling confident in a magnet of attraction, right? To what it is that you want to experience, right? This then leads to your physical intimacy, where you'll be able to open up your queendom to your king, right? And doing it there. And then this is where the emotional connection is also with your heart. Because one of the things that women typically do is pushing for the emotional connection before any kind of foundation has really been established. So then men end up either ghosting and they kind of go just totally blank out, or they'll just lie to you just to accommodate you. And then later on you find out it's something totally different, right? And so this is how, ladies, you can get into alignment with that man code that's there. And so, Erwan, you talked about it and you had mentioned like yin yang, you know, yin yang love and yin yang in love. So why don't you share a little bit more about, you know, understanding the basics of the masculine and feminine dynamic, especially in this, the post Me Too movement, and it's also changed things. And then of course, now that we're dealing with, you know, COVID and how it's social distancing and how that's altering and changing how we're relating. So why don't you just share a little bit more, and especially from your world, about just some of the basics so we can understand the difference in dynamics so that we can start to bridge that divide?
Yeah. So masculine feminine dynamics is a really, really fun, really, really fascinating, really tantalizing, lightful part of life. And it's a part of life that gets kind of squashed. And probably the biggest squashes it is our imprints from childhood. You know, the most likely way that a person's relationship life is going to turn out is some version of how their parents turned out, or the opposite of how their parents' relationship turned out, or how their parents related to them. So we call that a person's relationship blueprint. So the first we do when we're working with an individual or a couple is we distinguish their relationship blueprint, because there's no skipping over ecology. There's no skipping over what's getting in the way. I thank my lucky stars in my life. I ended up doing 15 years of psychoanalysis. Now, it doesn't, you know, most people have the same kind of history I did. You don't have to do 15 years of psychoanalysis, but we do have to address psychology. And that imprint, those beliefs, those patterns, those ways of relating are carried over into our friendship, but especially in romantic relationships or masculine feminine relationships. And what they do is they wash the vibrancy out of it. They squash the chemistry out. The relationship blueprint is a mental thing. It's a psychological thing. It's an imprint. Whereas masculine feminine is something that's happening in real time. It's now. You're at a party and you see somebody that you like, or you're with your wife or however that goes for you, and like you feel something in your hips and you feel something in your heart and you're kind of lit up in your feet. You kind of want to move. You know, something is happening, and it's, you know, it's a very now here. That's where it's happening. It's that kind of phenomenon. Another thing you mentioned, Stacy, that I love is that you mentioned love and appreciation. And it's absolutely essential, because unless we can restore the awareness, the presence, the love, the trust, the openness they're capable of as human beings, our relationships don't stand a chance. That's really the foundation, even before we get into masculine feminine dynamics. And again, the relationship blueprint is what squashes all of that. So that's got to get distinguished. It's a bit of heavy lifting, but it doesn't have to take that long to distinguish it. Then we can get into that really delightful interplay between the masculine and the feminine. Alicia and I address it in the Pleasure Core Mastery of Relationship, or one-on-one coaching, all the different forms of work we do with people, is we always ask people, we don't tell them, here's the masculine, here's the feminine. We ask them, okay, masculine, feminine, which one do you want to start with? People decide whatever they want to start with. We just start listing. How does it feel to them? And for feminine, they often come up with words like beautiful, sweet, lightful, nurturing. And it's interesting, sometimes they come up with words that we would typically associate with masculine, like strong, but when they say it in the feminine category, it's like a different, it's just as strong, but it's a different type of strength. It's interesting. It's got a flavor. It has a really brightness. And then we ask them about masculine. So we get that on the table, you know, let's say masculine, you know, kind of maybe driven or strong or focused or, you know, however that goes. But we all have a sense for that. We all kind of know that. So we get that out on the table, that that actually exists. And it's not something that we need to superimpose. We don't need to use a 2020 politically correct version of it. We don't need to use a 1950s conservative version of it. We can actually just be present and loving and open and really look at that natural difference. It's on average between a female and a male, but it doesn't need to be. It could be between females. It could be between two males. It can go a lot of different ways. Mm-hmm. But once we get the relationship blueprint out of the way, then we can distinguish something that's actually happening in the moment, in our hearts, in our hips, in our feet, in our minds, in our bodies right now, and acknowledge that. And then the chemistry starts to come back, that energy starts to come back, that interest starts to come back. And one of the things that's really interesting, Alicia and I have been together for the greater part of 20 years, is that it can increase as the years and decades go by. It doesn't have to decrease. It doesn't have to be a honeymoon period for the first few months, or for some people the first few minutes, you know, but for most people the first few months, maybe the first few years, right? It can actually increase over time if we've got that foundation of love and present, acknowledging the difference and celebrating the difference. There are things that she is so much better at. We go to a party, we walk in, she's like, oh, you know, within like 2 seconds, she's telling me, oh, this is going on with this person, that's going on over there, this is what's going on here, or this feels like this. She like totally orients me, you know, and then I'm like, great, you know, and like, I find something really interesting and unique for us to do, you know, like, oh, that food looks really yummy, or let's go get a drink, or there's, you know, Annie, let's go talk to her, or something like that. And it's a really delightful dance in real time, and it translates into the bedroom. For example, Alicia and I have some kind of sensual encounter pretty much every day. Not always intercourse. We're not aiming for that. We're aiming for her femininity really being celebrated and vibrating through her body orgasmically. And I know that if that's going on for her, then there's fire in the kitchen. Then there's fire in our sex life. I'm doing it, yes, loving because I want her to have a good time, but I'm also doing it selfishly because I know if the feminine is turned on and really getting what she wants, especially sensually, then her appetite increases, her approval increases. So that's a nice kind of example of feminine and masculine. And sometimes we teach a woman's appetite, man's production for that appetite, and then she just starts to glow, and then he's living in a state of grace.
Yeah, and the other thing even to share with that, because that's so beautiful, and in terms of what women can teach men, I know, ladies, there are a lot of men that look to women to teach them how to connect more emotionally, right? And they do that by looking at your example and in how to do that. And then the other thing is when men know that their woman is totally present and totally into whatever it is they're doing at that time, being very much mindful and in that now moment, whether it is watching a movie together, whether it's enjoying intimacy, whether it's enjoying sex, when a man knows that a woman is authentically in her joy, it rocks his world. it really rocks a man's world and warms his heart. And so it's really, as you hear us speaking about this, I want all of you to also think to yourself, okay, how does that play in my own life? Where am I at with that in my current relationship or in my past relationship? And or how do I want to empower myself moving forward in possibly a new relationship or making the one that I'm currently in even better? Okay. And stuff. And so this is how you can go about doing that, because it's a beautiful thing when a man is in his divine masculine, a woman is in her divine feminine. And that is what that yin yang symbol is all about. And really look at that symbol. And we would love to invite you to look at it in a totally different way. Because as you notice, is when you look at the yin yang symbol, in the center of both sides, there is a little dot of the other energy. And that is how we all truly are. And so it's about coming together so that you can have the balance, not completion. Another person does not complete you, but it is a good fit and a good balance, right? And coming it from there. And so here's a whole thing about also understanding the difference between what we call nature versus nurture, right? And stuff like it, because it's a very interesting concept between the two. And I know, Erwan, you have a really cool way of how you word this as well. But think of it this way, everyone. Nature is who we are in terms of our biology, right? Our hormones, you know, the things that are going off, you know, dopamine and all those things that are going on. So like, for example, I shared it a little bit earlier, even with hormonal levels of what makes a man primarily a man and what makes a woman. So testosterone, for example, men have 90% more testosterone than women do, but that is what is responsible for a man's physique, his muscles, his voice, right? How he thinks, right? It all dictates that. But testosterone also is what is responsible for sex drive and for arousal. And for that level of playfulness, testosterone is also part of aggression as well. Okay. And so what happens is that's why, ladies, sometimes you'll hear a lot of women say, why does it seem like men always have sex on the brain and that's all they care about? Right. I would beg to differ to say that's all they care about is extremely important. But that's kind of cutting men a little bit, you know, not being fair enough to them, because they think way more than that. But because of the testosterone, that's why it seems that way. But also, here's the other thing. Testosterone is what also makes a man's senses slightly more pronounced than women's are, unless she's pregnant. When a woman's pregnant, everything is on overdrive, right? But a man's primary sense is sight, right? That's why what a man sees, he reacts more viscerally to that. That is part of nature, right? Whereas women, your primary hormone is estrogen. Estrogen is where you will do backstrokes in your emotions and all this other stuff. Estrogen is responsible for your physique, your curves, right? Estrogen is also what makes women also very sensual, right? And seductive. That's a natural feminine trait that we've been brainwashed to think that it's manipulation. And those are two totally different things. So when you understand what part is nature, then what happens is you're going to be less likely to have resistance to certain aspects of how men are, as well as how women are. And then there is what I call nurture. That is your environment, right? That's your upbringing, where what country you may be from, the community that you're in, how your parents raised you. That is nurture. And so you have to look and understand what aspects of a person is nature and natural, and what aspects of it is their environment. And I loved how you had, when we were talking about this a little bit earlier, Erwan, in terms of how you position it with in your community. And I would love for you to share that, because it was really cool.
You know, it's a great point. And I like what you're saying, Stacey, because what we call it in our language is real feminism or true feminism. The feminine has been devalued for a long time. And there's a lot of different reasons for that, and that's a different discussion. I'm not going to get into that. But, you know, one of the results is that a lot of times, you know, the sort of masculine way of being is kind of considered the right way to be or something like that. And even sometimes in feminist movements, and I like what you're saying because it's really honoring the feminine and how it is and how real it is. Our bodies, on an average body and a female body, although nowadays we do, sometimes somebody can a male body in certain ways, but a feminine hormone system, which is really interesting. They've done some studies with mice where they switch a gene here and there and the behavior patterns change totally. So, you know, I like that we're talking about feminine and masculine because it kind of expands it. Because of the downplay of the feminine for so long, sometimes, you know, it becomes trying to be masculine or something like that. And as far as I'm concerned, personally, the feminine power, and I'm using that word power deliberately, not power in this kind of muscular masculine sense, but in like a magical sense. Mm-hmm. Alicia can move furniture without having to lift a finger because all she's got to do is smile at me. And all of a sudden, I want to move that furniture. You know, I want to do that, and I feel really good doing it, and I feel like a freaking hero doing it. So that feminine power, that femininity is natural. And if you know, on average, a woman, so I'll just say a woman, you know, a woman's body is designed for that. The way the brain operates, the curves, the softness, the hormones that you've talked about, it's designed to accentuate certain qualities of being, of life, of presence. And a masculine body is designed to accentuate others. Biologically, we emphasize, we express different qualities of life, different qualities of being. And not only is it more effective that way for survival, it's a lot more fun and it's a lot more dynamic. And the key is to celebrate the differences. Alicia really lets me do what I'm good at, and I really let her do what she's good at. And we life just go like everything, our community, our friendships, our sex, our business, our, you know, social life, all of it, it goes such better with that difference. So the nurture part is really key. The nature part is really key because it underlines something. It's kind of, you've been talking about the yin yang sign, the yin yang sign, you know, it's like being in harmony with the Tao. It's like being in harmony with the way that things are. It doesn't need to be male, female. For some people, it's a little different, mm-hmm. right? But to be in harmony with that and mix that and optimize that so that the nurture conflict with the nature and so that the behaviors and the practices don't conflict with what our skills are, what our strong points are, with what our with what she's naturally good at, and even more than what she's naturally good at, what I'm naturally good at, what she wants to do and what I want to do. We tend to want to do I'm not saying we don't want to go to the movies together. I'm saying we tend to, you know, there's some things in our life that she wants to handle. There's some things in, you know, our life that I want to handle. We have a son, 3.5-year-old Aiden. If I spend 5 hours away from him, I miss him terribly. I feel it in my heart like you wouldn't believe. And there's very different ways that she wants to interact with him and things that she wants to do with him than I want to do with him. And that difference just makes it so delightful. And, the nature nurture way of looking at it is a very good way of looking at it, because we do have to make sure that the nurture, or in our language, a person's relationship blueprint, doesn't get in the way of what's actually harmonious for us.
Yeah, and there's two things that you also shared, like when you said you want to be her hero, right? And you feel like when you do that, you can be her hero. And when you said that, I said that is the modern day knight in shining armor, right? That's the modern version. I mean, it's kind of funny, but you know, women from very young, you know, they're taught about the whole Prince Charming and all this other stuff coming on a horse. You know what? The horse has been replaced with a car. Right, you know, the castle is now his house and things of that nature. And so this is you sharing that is how a man, many men anyway, would love to be a hero for their partner. And when that appreciation then is shown, that's when you will always have your knight in shining armor being there for you, right? You know, and this is the interplay with each other. And then I'm glad you mentioned in terms of, yeah, we're talking about masculine and the feminine, and we're talking about nature and nurture. And yes, there are also like same-sex couples. So people go, well, what about them? Well, what happens is even in those dynamics, one partner will still take on a little bit more of the masculine energy, and one partner will still take on a little bit more of the feminine energy. So even if you're in a same-sex couple, you would still kind of look at it through that filter, right? And so we do want to acknowledge that, you know, because I've worked with trans clients and same-sex clients. And so that's how, when I'm working with them, that's the space in which I do. It's like usually one will gravitate more than the other. And so you go in that respect. And it's like you said, what you feel that you're naturally good at and what you want to do. Because pretty much, in every single one of my relationships, guess who handled the money? Me, right? And normally it's usually money management and doing all that stuff is stereotypically considered, a guy's thing, but that's not necessarily the case, right? And in my circumstances, I was always the one that was stronger in, you know, money investing thing, and they didn't feel like being bothered with it. So they're like, hey, babe, you take care of this. I'm like, okay, you know, and that's what I did. So whatever you're good in, you lead, right? Whatever you want to learn to do a little bit more, like say, for example, your partner is more of the financial person than you are. Well, you know what? You can also learn a little bit more of that, even though they may be leading it, so that you can be an informed partner. But then whatever they're good in, let them lead. And, you know, this is why I say it's an egalitarian type of relationship, right? Where both ends are being heard, understood, and being respected and being acknowledged. So we're hoping to get through all the points. We may have to drop a couple off because we're almost at our time, because we definitely want to make sure there's time for Q&A for you to ask your questions. So here's Erwan. I wanted to see if you can share this with everyone in terms of, because we've talked about it in little bits and pieces here and there, but the stages of a relationship. So if you can kind of share with us the stages of a relationship, and then you talked upon it or touched upon it a little bit earlier about keeping the relationship thrilling and juicy. So why don't you kind of put those two together for us, so we can kind of hear that a little bit more about the different stages of a relationship and how to keep it thrilling and juicy.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll combine them. They combine well. Also, we're going to offer everybody a free video that it's called Essential Dating and Relationship Skills. It's all of the state of relationship and the essential skills in all of them. So it'll give folks who want a more thorough description of that. But I'll cover them briefly now. The first stage is before you're in a relationship. Basically, you know, you could call it flirting, you could call it seduction. I think the most useful part of that we've already talked about in this, which is celebrate the other person's gender. Women or the feminine really loves to know he's attractive. The masculine really likes to win and be approved of and be a hero. So to be explicit about that, overt about that. Now, flying is the art of micro gestures. So micro gestures are key to moving things forward because romance is so delicate, tender. There's so much at stake that big overtures are difficult to make. And if they're not received well, you'll reject. So the thing to do is make a little overture big enough so that they respond. And then you get a clue. Oh, okay, they like me. They don't like me. They're moving forward. They're not. So micro gestures, the art of flirting. And, you know, we could call it forcing a reaction, doing something that the other person has to react to, but the smallest possible thing, get the equivalent of a text bubble above their head saying whether they're interested or not, works like a charm, saves you jumping on a bar stool if you're a guy and offering to buy a woman a drink, or as a woman putting everything out there and putting your heart on the line. You know, you make a little gesture, they respond, you get a ton of info. So that's a little bit about,
I call that the mental breadcrumbs.
Then the first stage of relationship, actual relationship, is dating, right? We call it the new and exciting stage. That is all about having fun. I was good at that. I was really good at that. You know, things Alicia loved about me, if I can toot my own horn for a minute. You know, I liked going out and I liked going to parties and I liked going ice skating and I liked going for sushi and I was teaching these, you know, really fun courses and community and all the rest of that kind of stuff. So, for that initial stage of relationship, typically dating, you want to be good at having fun. You know, it's really, really essential. Now, there's more to it. That's just one of the skills, but it's one of the most important. Now, to transition into the next skill, which is the middle game of relationship, commonly called boyfriend-girlfriend, vulnerability is required. That's where you start to deal with things like, are we going to move in together? Lifestyle design. Alicia was much stronger. I have the best in-laws in the world. Her parents are amazing. I thank the stars. She came from a real healthy family. So she was very good at communication and vulnerability and going deep. And, you know, I was smart enough to say, okay, you lead that. You're better at that, you know, and jumped in. But vulnerability is required there. The key skill there is communication, really opening up. Other one is sex education, right? Why is sex education required in a middle game of relationship? Because in the beginning, it's all novel. They can't do anything wrong, right? In the beginning, they show up late and we're so impressed. Oh my God, they're free of time. They have transcended time. It's like everything about them turns us on. In the middle game of relationship, we actually have to learn about each other's nervous systems and giving, receiving pleasure and orgasm. What is that? And how do you extend it? And all just then the last stage of relationship is what we call an eternal date, or we could call it a committed relationship, right? And or a soulmate relationship. It's kind of the holy grail of relationship. And a transition skill into that territory is, and I love that you mentioned this earlier, Stacey, love. Love in the deepest sense, not in the egoic relationship blueprint, you know, not that kind of attachment thing that passes as love, but love, present. You could say spiritual development. It doesn't matter to me, a new age spirituality, this religion, that religion, all the rest of that doesn't really matter. But real development of presence, of our being able to put everything in. So one of the skills in that stage of relationship is cherishing, right? We talked about appreciation. Really cherishing the person. Often we don't cherish something until it's gone, right? Really cherishing the person, really, you know, Alicia and I meet every day, you know, really developing that presence so that we can put everything in, so that commitment is not a ball and chain, so that commitment is freedom. Like of, you know, the Beatles committed to music, or Michael Jordan being committed to basketball. They weren't imprisoned by their art or their commitment. They were freed by it. So for that final stage of relationship and eternal date, commitment has to be realized as a way of being free. Free from what? Free from picking and choosing. Free to be. Free to give everything. And when we give everything in relationship, we get everything in relationship. It's a little bit, you know, just kind of a brief overview of the stages and really how to build a thrilling romance. And those stages and those skills, there's about a dozen of them. I went through about three of them. They're cumulative. Sometimes people drop out. They get to the vulnerability part or the middle game of relationship, and then they leave the fun and the flirting and the seduction behind. No, we want to, they're cumulative, mm-hmm. right? An eternal date, it's not just presence, it's a date. It's also a feminine person and a masculine person, or a man, woman also got that sexy thing in it, right? So if they're cumulative, then we can rebuild a thrilling romance.
Oh my gosh. And you're it's music to my ears. That's all I can say. I'm having a hard time even finding words to say that, but it, you know, because a large part of it, just like I teach the ladies in my community, what you do to, in terms of what you do, who you are, how you're being to attract that relationship is the same things that you need to keep doing in order to maintain it so it can stay thrilling for the long haul, right? And you just don't stop, right? It's like, oh, I've arrived now that I got the commitment. No, that's just part of the journey. You got to keep on going with it, especially if you want it to be long-term. And so you have to remember to continue to date each other. Don't put all the to-do list and all that other stuff comes before the relationship, because that, guess what? That is what will make it dissolve, right? When you do that. And so I love this whole concept that you said about the eternal date, right? And doing that. And here's the other thing. That language sounds so playful. It sounds so playful. Because many times, if you were to say to a person, you know, I want the commitment, or if you say to someone, you know, I would love to have an eternal date with you. How does that even feel, right? So even some of you that are listening to this, and if you get really triggered by the word commitment, or if your body gets a little tense, or if your face starts to tighten up when you hear that word, well, you know, I invite you to use the word, just like, you know, Erwan said, an eternal date, right? And in doing that, because it sounds so much more juicy, thrilling, and playful. And so, you know, with that, we're going to get ready to go into our Q&A, where we're going to open up the mic. Now, here's what we'll do for Q&A. Before we get to Q&A, is if you have a question for either myself or Erwan, you're going to have to go ahead and unmute yourself, okay? If I try to unmute everybody, you're going to hear a chorus of noise in the background and stuff like that. So if you want to ask a question, you're going to have to unmute yourself. Or if you're listening to this on your computer, you can do it on your phone as well. You'll be able to, you can put a question in chat, okay? So what I am going to do is I'm going to type right now questions here so that if you want to use chat to submit your question. Now, everybody should get a little indicator, should have seen that. So that way you know where the chat is to place your question to do that. So, but before we get there, very quickly, I know there's a gift that Erwan has for everyone as well as myself, but one of the things you want to, why this is also very important, especially in this time where there's a lot of hardship that's going on, but we also want you to see the beauty that is also happening. You know, Erwan, you had talked about it, about, you know, keeping touch with your dad who's in New York. You know, I've been doing the same thing. I've been touching base with my mom every single day. And the last time I must have done that, I was 7 years old, right? When I And I, now I'm in my 50s, for goodness sake. And I'm speaking to my mother like every single day. But it feels good, right?
It feels good.
It feels really good about being connected and about friends having your back and you being there. Even my ex, you know, I dropped off groceries to his mom who lives like two blocks away from my partner, right? But when we still have that connection, even though I'm not even with her son anymore. But what happens is we still have that connection, that togetherness. And so this is what we want you to embrace. And, you know, I'll close out the lecture part just real quickly, sharing with you the top three things or the top three reasons why relationships fail. The number one reason is incompatibility. And that is exactly what Erwan and I have been talking about tonight. It's about how to bridge that gap, how there can be compatibility in your relationships and in your life. And this can be any male relationship and any female relationship. It doesn't even necessarily have to be just intimate relationship, okay? But incompatibility is the number one reason. It's we're not learning and understanding each other. And we also have to learn about ourselves and what we're bringing into a relationship. And then the other two reasons why relationships fail, these are the top three reasons. The second is sex, and the third is money. So yes, sex is the second reason, even before money, as why people go into splits fill and relationships don't last. And so that's what we wanted to share with you here tonight, because we don't want any of those three reasons to stop you from experiencing the best possible relationships that you can. And so Erwan, I know, how can the listeners and people listening to this, how can they learn more about you and find you, of course, and then what gift that you have for everybody as well?
Oh, thank you. Yes, the easiest way to get in contact with us is probably to call our number, which is, or text, which is 415-308-9580. And if you text number, we'll make it that video of the essential dating and relationship skills, which goes through all the stages of relationships and skills. And we'll also offer you a free coaching session. Being of service is something that I do selfishly. That might sound a little weird to say, makes such a difference for me to support people, especially in this time. Alicia and I are on Facebook and Zoom doing guided meditations for wellness Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And it's making the biggest difference for us. So we want to offer you that free video. It's about an hour long, covers a lot of juicy information. And we want to offer you a free coaching session with either Alicia or Mom. You can pick. Maybe you want a feminine perspective or masculine perspective. And then you can also, if you would prefer, you can also email us at web address. I would go to www.pleasurecourse.com. www.pleasurecourse.com. PLEASURECOURSE. .com. That's our website. And if you're an email kind of person, you know, I would say just email me, erwandavon@gmail.com. I'll spell my name. I've got one of those.
Oh, and we'll have it. Have it in the replay. All that information will be in the replay, sweetheart. So I'll be able to include all of that in. That will go out tomorrow.
Awesome. That's it. So much easier.
Thank you. That way people have to go, how did he spell that? Can you slow down? You know, and stuff like that. The replay that will be going out tomorrow, everybody, it'll recap that in there. That way you'll be able to take advantage of Erwan and Alicia's generous gift and things of that nature. So all that will be there for you. And just for me, What I'm also offering as a gift for everyone that's on here, usually people that do the masterminds, I do a one question session, right? For people that are there. So any of the points that we had talked about here on the mastermind, you can do a one question session with me. And the other thing that I'm giving away of being of service, because of the times that we're in, there's a lot of fear that's going on in people, you know, their headspace. So I had developed this training actually last year, as a matter of fact. It was called Get Unstuck, Achieve Freedom from Fear to Live the Life That You Love. And I'm actually giving that to everyone. We'll get a copy of that training. You'll be able to get access to that. And then I will be doing a group coaching call in April to help people get through any anxieties that they are feeling during this time in their life. And it doesn't need to necessarily even be just relationship. Because ever since the past couple of weeks, I have been doing a life coaching to my clients as well as family and friends to keep them grounded and in what's going on and helping them get a different perspective of how they can use this challenging time in our life right now, how they can turn it around to their advantage so it doesn't keep them paralyzed. So that is the gift that I'm also going to be sharing with everyone. And like I said, it will be in the recap. And if you want to learn a little bit more about me and my juicy work, you can visit me on the web at www.thevixenacademy.com, right? And that's how you can find me, as well as on Facebook, The Vixen Academy with Stacey Murphy. So those are ways in which you can hit up both of us respectively, and the gifts that we want to share with you as a way of saying thank you. So with that being said, we're going to go ahead and jump into Q&A. And I see we have some questions that were here in chat. So what I'm going to go ahead and do is I will read out the question, especially for those of you that may not have access to chat. I will read what the question is, and then we can share in terms of answering those questions. So this first question is from Steph. So thank you very much, my dear, for being on the call. And it says here about opposite pairings, right? Well, what if you're an opposite pairing and it's very difficult to meet in the middle, okay? And is it possible that being too opposite can detract instead of attract a relationship? And there's two parts to this question. So that's the first part of the question. And the second part of the question, which is, how can I lighten up and embrace my feminine side more? Because of terms of having comments about being too much in my masculine as a woman. So Irwan, if we can both tag team that, you can gladly take the first half if you want to, and I can go ahead and do the second half with embracing the feminine side. So we can tag team it like that if you'd like. So
yeah, that sounds perfect. And then as a man, Stacey, I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. Can you bottom line the first half for me?
Oh, it is about the whole concept about opposites attracting, right? If you're opposite in how you are in your likes, is that more of a detraction, or can that be an attraction in a relationship? Okay. Can it hamper, if you're too opposite, can it hamper a successful relationship?
Okay, great. Thank you for clarifying that. I ask Alicia that all the time. Would you clarify that for me? So at the nature level, it's not a hindrance at all. The difference is really a benefit, and I would say exclusively a benefit. But at the nurture level, we can have very different tastes. People can just have a lot of different tastes. Somebody really, really, really wants to go skydiving all the time and live out in nature, and they're completely, totally into that. And somebody else is a city person, and they just love that, and that's what they want, how they want to be, and you know, like that. You know, that obviously, you know, is a problem. We develop different tastes. So at the nurture level, it can be an issue. At the nature level, it's not an issue. At the nurture level, it can also be an issue. I think, Stacy, you called it incompatibility. You know, it can be that our conditioning, what we call our relationship blueprint, gets in the way of actually being to express that complementary nature side of things. Our conditioning, our psychology, our imprinting, it can drive our tastes in a particular way where all of a sudden the difference in tastes is not really complementary because we're conditioned to like, for example, you know, some guys think that women should look like, this certain way that's just not, it's not even beautiful. It's more like a stereotype or something like that. And we can be conditioned in a way that really screws up the nature. So it's a great question. It's a nuanced question. Fundamentally, it's not a problem, but at the conditioned level, it can be a problem. And we can also just have different tastes.
Yes. And I think one of the things you said about, you know, like fundamentally, you know, there's a big difference between having different taste and fundamentally having two different perspectives about something. And when you're able to determine the difference between the two, then you can definitely see where the problems may creep up in the relationship. Okay. Especially on a longer term basis. So hopefully, Steph, that gives you some, you know, insight as to why that may have, you know, tripped you up in the past. Now, the second part of the question, oh, and here's the other thing. When Erwan had asked me, okay, can you either, you know, reframe that, right? What happened is, right there on this live call was a demonstration of a literal masculine and feminine way of communicating, right? So, because that's one of the things, you know, I teach with my ladies, the difference between how men communicate, how women communicate. And women are very much more descriptive, very much more detail, you know, into what's going on. And men are like, give me the nuts and bolts of what it is, right? And so when if a man were to ask you to, all right, I need to reframe that for me, don't be insulted by that. He actually just truly wants to understand you clearly and stuff like that. And which also goes into the second half of that question is about how to lighten up and embrace my feminine side, right? And so that's where you're also going into my specialty. With ladies. So the first thing I always share with my women is really one, first you have to understand the difference between feminine energy and masculine energy, okay? Because they do feel differently and they demonstrate themselves differently, right? Equally important, but in different ways, right? And so that's the first thing is to understand the difference where that is. And so there's like a feminine masculine check sheet that I have my ladies go through so I can see, okay, which way they are. So here's like a prime example. Feminine energy is gentle power, right? Being open, it's being welcome, it's being receptive, right? Feminine energy feels more like fluid. It's more fluidity, like water, right? The waters of Venus. And a feminine energy is also a little bit more collaborative, right? It's about the we, it's like nurturing. And feminine energy is also seductive. And let me give you the feminine power definition of seduction, okay? Because women have a mixed view about what seduction is because of what we had talked about, because of what I would call nurture, okay, which is environment. Not nature, but nurture, what we've been told, and which has skewed how women see seduction, which is actually taking us out of our natural power. So here's the feminine definition of seduction. Seduction is having the keen ability to entice someone to do something that they want to do anyway, because you create a safe place for them to come out and play with you. And in this safety, they can be authentic with you. They can be vulnerable with you. They can be genuine with you. They will take off the mask that they show the outside world, but you will see their true essence and their true self. That is what the feminine power definition of seduction is. By contrast, manipulation is coercing someone to do something that they don't want to do, but you want them to do. And manipulation has the disguise of guilt, shame, fear, judgment. Those are all faces of manipulation, okay? Because they don't make you feel good, right? Unless the person who wants you to do it, they feel okay because they're getting their way. So I wanted to share that so that it can kind of ground you in what that definition of seduction is, because that's a feminine strength, okay? So that's like feminine energy. And then masculine energy is rigid power, okay? It's fiery, it's projective, it's protecting, okay? It's aggressive. Okay, that's masculine energy. So you'll feel that's there. Okay, it's a very different one. It also, it's about doing. It's about taking. Okay, and so we're dealing with that masculine energy. Now, what happens is a lot of women, especially for the second wave of the feminist movement, which was when I was being raised. So I was raised in the second wave of the feminist movement, which taught a lot of women, oh, to be feminine, that's weak and all this. People won't take you seriously. They're not going to pay attention to you. Men are not going to take you seriously. So what did we women do? We try to be like men, right? But you don't see men trying to be like women necessarily, right? Now, there's a difference between acting and taking on different roles and responsibilities, because they're different. They're not the same. And so what happens is, because women were kind of being taught, you got to do it like a man, we lost a lot of our feminine strength, okay? So here's a way that you combine the two, where you honor your feminine energy as you embrace that level of masculine energy that was in you. When you take gentle power and you combine that with the masculine trait of, say, aggression, right? It combines together and it turns into initiative, right? So with women, I would say, ladies, you want to take initiative, ladies, but you don't want to be aggressive. They're different. Initiative is more welcoming and aggression is more kind of plowing through it. And it doesn't feel as welcoming. It doesn't feel as nice. So that's the first thing, is really understanding the difference between masculine and feminine energy. Now, that's a broad stroke. Like I said, there are always exceptions to the rule. There are ways that it ebbs and flows. Nothing is in concrete, right? But that is like an overall structure. But you can play with both ends, because just like the yin-yang symbol, ladies, in terms of you and your feminine, you should be around 70 to 75% in your feminine energy and 30 to 25% in your masculine energy. And then men, it's the exact opposite, right? You being 70 to 75% in your masculine energy with 25 to 30% in your feminine energy, okay? And that's how we flow. And so that's the first thing, is to understand where that energy is. Then when you understand, okay, I have these traits really rocking in my feminine energy. Oh goodness. Now I see where I'm going overboard in my masculine energy. Then you identify what it is that you need to recalibrate. Okay. What you need to adjust, what you need to alter. Okay. And then from there, it's then about embracing your feminine traits, wherever those are. So for example, like with women, you know, I really work with ladies in their self-worth, how you value yourself, because how you value yourself is how you're then going to project yourself in your self-image of how people are going to perceive you. So it's really getting on the same page with that. It's also bringing ladies back to charm school. So yes, I teach my ladies how to go back to charm school, how to their voice, what to say, how to say, sit, stand, walk the whole entire nine yards in a way that makes you feel good and juicy for yourself, right? You're doing this for yourself first and foremost. This is who you're doing it for, and other people benefit by you being in your power, okay? And so that's where I would say in terms of starting to embrace that, it would go there first. Understanding the masculine feminine traits, understanding how they show up in you, then knowing what you need to recalibrate, because you need to be aware first, recalibrate, and then step into those skills that you need to juice up within your own life. And then other ones that you may need to, okay, bring it down to earth a little bit more so that it doesn't mess up things in your own life. It can stay a positive versus turning into a hindrance. So hopefully, Steph, that answers your question there and about that as well. And, oh, thank you very much. You're welcome for that. So thank you there. And I'll read it out. Erwan, she gave a real positive feedback to us. So thank you so much. Now, here's the next question that we got. It's from Anna. And it's Anna P. is the next question. The question is, what are some ways to show appreciation to a man? And she says, you know, I don't live with my guy, and sometimes I wonder about going over the top with appreciative text and stuff like that. All right. So in terms of, and this will be, you know, Erwan and I will tag team this question. But the simplest thing is, what is a way to share appreciation to a man? The first thing I'm going to say, well, here's a way to share appreciation with anybody. Thank you. That literally, that those two words right there is the one way to show appreciation, is to say thank you. I kid you not, there have been women that will go on dates and they didn't even send a thank you text from that date. They just assumed. And I'm like, no, you don't assume. Say thank you, because a man wants to know that, was it good for you just like it was for him? That is how saying thank you right then and there is one way of doing that. But the other way of showing appreciation, because this is what I do in my own personal relationships and in how I teach, is one, it has to be genuine. It has to be authentic, right, when you're saying that. But like, for example, my guy, he would always have, he made sure he has my coffee here that I like, and my wine that I like, and all this other stuff like that. So even though we're 6 years into it, this man will still bring me a cup of coffee. And at night, my new drink now that he does is he'll make me an old fashioned, right? And every single time I say, babe, I really appreciate how you think about me. And 6 years later, I'm still saying that. I'm still letting him know that even with that gesture, which some people may think, oh, he's just making you a drink or bringing you a cup of coffee, it doesn't matter. Nothing is too big. Nothing is too small to show appreciation. Then here's another way that I show appreciation to my partner. He likes to buy clothing, and I'm not talking lingerie. He actually likes to buy shoes for me. He likes to buy dresses and things of that nature. The way I show appreciation to him is if he buys me something, I take a picture, like if it's sent and I get it directly, like from Amazon or whatever, and I get the package, what I do is I put the outfit on, I take a picture, and I send it to him. Because I know that shows appreciation to him. Then on top of it, when your man buys you something, they like to actually see you use it. They actually like to know that whatever they did for you, you're actually receiving some benefit from it, right? So he travels a lot for his business. Right now, he's not traveling as much, but he travels a lot. So he had gotten these little bags that you put in your suitcase that puts your items in compartments. Well, guess what? He bought a set for me. And I use that all the time. And I say, babe, I so love these things that you gave. It makes packing so much easier. Those are all examples of showing appreciation, right? All of them are examples of showing appreciation. So for any of you, I would say start doing that now, right? So, and then also understand your partner's love language. When you understand your partner's love language, and if you're not familiar with that, you can go on the website of Five Love Languages, right? The Five Love Languages, and it's by Chapman. And you can take the free test on how to determine what your love language is, right? Because I have my clients do it. And I would say, look on there, what is your primary and your secondary love language? If you are in a relationship, find out what your partner's primary and secondary love language is. And then this is what I do with my clients. I said, okay, this is your love language, your primary and secondary. Now list 10 different things that communicates that love language to you. Because you can have the same love language as your partner, but you can be talking them in different ways. Just like I'm speaking English right now. However, American English is different than British English, right? It's different. So we're still speaking English, but it's a different dialect. So what happens is the love languages work the same exact way, like a foreign language. And when you find out what your partner's love language is and how they understand their love language being demonstrated to them, that gives you an inside track of how to show them appreciation in their love language that they will understand. Okay? So that's how I would answer that question for you, Anna. So, Erwan, if you wanted to add your little spin to it, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that Alicia does, you know, I talked about living in a state of grace and how she relates to me. She does something that makes a huge difference, which shows I feel really appreciated when she turns me on. You know, when she sends her turn on my way, I feel appreciated down to my toes. I feel like a hero. I feel so approved of, so appreciated. It's something that only the feminine can do. It lights up my day. I have energy. I'm enlivened. My testosterone, my hormones, all of it just starts to go through. If I want to do stuff, I want to make out in particular. That's my favorite way she shows appreciation. And what I really like about it is that if it's real turn on at the deepest level, there's so much love in that. There's the head center is noticing, like her head is approving. She's approving of me, how I am. Her heart is open and loving and open to me. And even her body is open to me. And even her sex center, of all the four centers in a human being, her sex center is open to me. So it's not the, you know, sexual energy is kind of pooed in our culture. It's kind of, diminished. And I think it's a real attack on the feminine, to be honest. But if it's really acknowledged to send that kind of energy, and it's something that really is in the feminine domain. I remember when I was a child watching the public broadcast television nature shows, you know, it was the female lion that would go into heat and the male lion that would travel many, many miles across jungles to find her. So the feminine has that heat. When she sends that heat my way, right? And female humans or feminine humans can do it not just sort of the way animals do it on a monthly cycle or yearly cycle. Yes, it happens on a monthly cycle. It happens on a yearly cycle. It happens on a daily cycle. It happens substantially if women are around other women. It happens all those kinds of ways. But it also happens by choice. It also happens volitionally. And when she's sending that energy my way, I can feel approving of me with her mind. I can feel her approving and appreciating me with her heart, love. And I can even feel her appreciating and approving of me with her body and sex center. So it's very deep. And the thing I want to just sort of underline about that is that it takes sex out of the gutter. It takes it out of that poo-pooed negative space. I think it's something that Stacy and I both have in common in our teaching is a celebration of that energy and that feminine energy. So when Alicia's sending that my way and she's turning me on, I feel appreciated like, you know, anything can be going on in my life and I feel great.
Yeah, well, you know what, as I'm hearing you talk, I said, we have to actually do another mastermind together that focuses on that, because what you just said, I mean, because I didn't know that's what you were going to say, because we're asking the questions, but what you just shared is the three tantric love centers, right? Because, you know, I am a certified sex coach. And so that's why, you know, the intimacy part, I do talk about that and I do coach that and I do teach that in my teachings because it is a part of relationships and it's the second reason why relationships fail. So you have to have that be part of the discussion. And the branch that I studied was Ipsilu Tantra. And, you know, what you just shared were like the three tantric love centers. The second center, the second chakra. So for those of you that are familiar with the chakras and the energy centers, the three tantric love centers are the second, the fourth, and the sixth chakra. So the second chakra is your sex center. That is where your passion and creativity lies, right? And all of that. And when I say creativity, we're talking about being creative in life and expansive in life, okay? Not just sex. It goes way beyond that. The second love center in Tantra is the heart center, just like what Erwan was talking about. And then the third is the third eye, right? That third eye, and so that's right between the eyebrows, okay? The third eye, and where that is your inner knowing, the inner mind, the inner thought. And all of those are working together like a well-oiled machine, and that is how you arrive at relationship bliss. Right there. It's not one or the other. It is a flow of energy that gravitates through all of those, right? And with that, I think that is a fabulous way for us to conclude the talk here. We went a little bit over. We wanted to end at around 8:30 Eastern time. It's a little bit past that, but you know, we really appreciate the questions, and a lot of you had stayed on to the very end. So thank you so much. Like you said, the replay will be available tomorrow, and that will be sent out to everybody that had registered. And with that, everyone, we are complete, and I want to thank Erwan very much for bringing your energy and your essence. It was fabulous. So thank you so much, and give Alicia a kiss for me, because I know she's
I will.
Tell her I said, hey, girl, I know she's close by, and everything else like that. So thank you so much, Erwan, for your time, your energy, your beautiful soul. And if you agree, I would definitely love to bring you back as a guest once again. So with that, everybody, take care and live. This is your opportunity to start living your best life, all right? With everything that is happening, if you were only told that you had 1 or 2 weeks to be on this earth, ask yourself, would you be doing exactly what you're doing right now? And if your answer is no, then there are changes that we invite you to make and to step into that so that you could be living your best life now, not some point in the future, not some way, some when, but to start to do that right here, right now. So with that, everybody, take care, and we are complete, and have a wonderful night. Bye-bye.
Have a good night. Thank you, Stacy. It was awesome.
Oh, thank you. Bye, everybody.